Today's lesson is from the book of Psalms, 119, chapter 119, and verses 103 through 105. Reading as follows in the name of our Lord. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts I get understanding, and therefore I hate every false way. Yes, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. These are thy words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us in thy truth. Thy word is truth.
So the last 2 or 3 weeks, you've been coming, and even on Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, you heard either Pastor John or myself talk about light and about the word, partly because this is the time of the year when we talk about light, what with the Star of Bethlehem and the heavens lighting up with the heavenly host as the shepherds are out in the field minding their own business. And then there's John's gospel. The word became flesh and dwelt among us. But that isn't the only reason that we've been talking about those things. We've been talking about light, and we've been talking about the word because that really is our year. We're embarking on a year-long journey, as Pastor John said, to follow the light. You can see it on the screens. It matches this. If you don't have one of these, please pick one up when you leave. It kind of matches. But on the back, we'll tell you what we're talking about the first 7 or 8 weeks of this year. And every time we move to another 7 or 8 weeks, you'll get another card with a different color string. It makes a really nice bookmark for your Bible. If you want to invite somebody, take a couple and use them as an invite card. But that's what we're talking about. Follow the light. Because you see, God's light has been shining brightly all the way from in the beginning, God said, let there be light, to the end of the book of Revelation, where we see a new heaven and a new earth and a new holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven. And the thing about that new city is that the light that illuminates the city is the light of Christ. There will be no need for sun or moon or stars. But the thing is, we haven't gotten to that part yet in our lives. And so this thread that runs all the way through Scripture, that's God interacting with God's people and Jesus' light shining, God's light shining, that's here today for you and for me, and we are part of that continuum of God interactive in your life and in my life. The thing is, we're starting out on a new journey through Scripture, and lots has been said about the Bible. In fact, there was a study done 3 or 4 years ago. All kinds of churches, all denominations, different formats, different sizes. And regardless of your denomination, your format, the size of your church, they discovered that the number one reason people came to church wasn't for fellowship. It wasn't for goodies. I know this is shocking. It wasn't even for the coffee. The number one reason people said they came to church was because they wanted to understand the Word of God better. Because here's the deal. The reality is, this is where we meet God, in the Word of God. So let me share a couple of thoughts from some people that you may have heard of. Abraham Lincoln said that the Bible is the best gift that God ever gave to mankind. And Patrick Henry, remember, give me liberty or give me death, said the Bible is a book worth all the other books in the world. Charles Dickens said the Bible is the best book that's ever been written, that ever will be written. And President Ronald Reagan said that within the covers of the Bible are all the answers to all the problems that face us today. This book that we're going to read together is different from every other book you've ever read. Maybe because it's not just one book, It's 66 different books written by 40 different authors over a period of somewhere between 1500 to 2000 years. It's divided into two sections, the Old Testament, which has 39 books, and the New Testament that has 27. And the word Bible comes from a Greek word, biblos, which simply means book. So throughout Christian history, even to today, we read a book simply called the book. This was written in three different languages, in Hebrew, in Aramaic, and in Greek, on three different continents, in at least 10 different countries. And those 40 authors, well, some of them were kings. At least one was a doctor. Some of them were prophets. Some were fishermen. A couple were musicians. There was even an IRS agent that wrote one of the books of Scripture, because the Gospel of Matthew, written by Matthew, Matthew used to be a tax collector. It's a wide variety of kinds of Scripture, from history to poetry to laments to apocalyptic literature, which you read and you think, what in the heck were they thinking? And then there's this theme, God active in the lives of God's people. This book has been banned. It's been burned. It's been resisted like no other book ever. And yet year after year after year, this is on the bestseller list. And here's the really cool thing about the Bible. I like this about the Bible. Once you start reading it, you will never finish. That doesn't mean you read a few chapters and you set it aside and go, that's not for me. It means that once you start reading and you get engaged, you don't want to stop reading it. We're at a point in time with our technology, with new scholarship, where there have never been so many different study aids to help us study the Bible. But the thing is, if we really are serious, if we really are intentional about wanting to read Scripture, about wanting to know more about God, then it would probably be a fairly good idea to have a decent relationship with Him, to be on good terms with Him. Because if we're going to learn from Scripture, we probably need to be in a place where we can ask and He will open our hearts or our minds or our eyes so that we can get more out of Scripture perhaps than we've ever gotten before. You see, there's a lot of people that know an awful lot about the Bible. Satan knows the Bible. We can have head knowledge. We can quote facts and statistics like I just did a minute ago. But really, if this is going to mean something, what we need is heart knowledge. We need an open heart. That means to be open to whatever God gives us as we read. And it's not always easy. In fact, it requires obedience. It requires a level of faith. The thing is, we talk about being disciples. Disciples are those who hear and obey what they read in Scripture, the Word of God. We're seeking to be better disciples. And this psalm that Doc just read, Psalm 119, it's the longest chapter in the Bible. It's got, I don't know, 200 and some verses. That's probably not quite right, but it goes on and on and on. And the author of that psalm spends a lot of time talking about how wonderful the Word of God is. But it's a psalm that's written for sojourners. And a sojourner is somebody who lives in a land that isn't theirs. A foreigner, a resident alien. But before you say, oh, then that's not for me, consider this. People may say, where do you live? And we reference some city in the Metro Phoenix area. But this isn't really our ultimate home. We're sojourners in this land. Our ultimate home is in heaven with God. And so we use this book as our light, as our guide, to show us how to live, where we're going. I drive Greenway Road every day, miles of it. And there's a lot of churches along Greenway Road, and there's one not too far from our house where somebody for a number of years was really good at putting poignant things on their little marquee out front. And one day I drove by, and this is what it said: "A Bible that's falling apart belongs to someone who isn't." Because the thing is, if we're really in the Word of God, if we are in the will of God, if we are in the heart of God, then no matter what happens, we know that ultimately we will be okay. It doesn't mean it's easy. That doesn't mean if you start reading in Genesis today and you think, I'm good, life is going to be a piece of cake from now on. That's not it at all. But it does mean that when we spend time in Scripture, we find the strength to face whatever comes our way. But the thing is, I've been around long enough, I've heard all kinds of excuses as to why people can't read the Bible. So let me share a couple of them with you. The number one reason that people can't read the Bible is because they're too busy. I'm too busy. I don't have time. Maybe because I'm raising a family, I've got kids, and whether they're little kids or whether they're big kids, here's the thing. Don't you think they'd be better off if you spent time in the Bible? And don't you think it would ultimately be the best for you as a family if you read it together? If you spent time in God's Word together? Maybe the kids are gone. Maybe you don't have kids. But work is just unbelievable. You're just buried and people keep interrupting you and you write a to-do list and you can't even see the bottom. There's so much to do. But here's the thing. If we read Scripture, it'll change our perspective on everything that we have to do. Maybe things would go better if we spent some time in God's Word. But maybe you don't have kids anymore that are in the house, and maybe you've retired, but now your time is taken up with appointments. Because, you know, there's this doctor's appointment, or there's that doctor's appointment, or hearing aids, or, you know, the list is this long. You don't have time because you're going to the doctor. How many of you have ever been in the doctor's office? Okay? And you go in, right, and there's this nice, usually a lady, but not always, and there's a clipboard, right? And you sign your name and you write down the time you're here. Nobody ever gets in right away. That's why they call it a waiting room. So while you're waiting, wouldn't that be a great time to read a little bit of Scripture? Might even calm some nerves or some fears. Some people say, I don't like to read. I can't. I'm not going to read the Bible. I don't even like to read. So I look at reading the Bible like I look at working out. If I'm not inclined to work out, I'm probably not going to like it, right? Except after Christmas, nothing quite fits right. And so if I start working out, after a few days, I can actually raise my arms. They don't hurt anymore. And I can walk because my legs aren't stiff anymore. And pretty soon, it just becomes a part of the routine of my life. Scripture's like that. We may read the first couple of days and go, oh, wow. Don't start in Leviticus, though. Okay? Start in the beginning with Genesis. And read. And after a few days, that becomes a part of what you do. And then there's other people. Every once in a while, somebody says, well, I don't really want to read the Bible. It's boring. Okay, I know you started in Leviticus. Don't start there. Start in the book of Genesis. If you think Scripture is boring, please read the book of Genesis. Don't just skim over it. really read the stories, because I'm telling you, the stuff that happens in the book of Genesis will put the writers of All My Children and Days of Our Lives out of business. If it's boring or you don't understand, find somebody to read with. Join a group. Read it together. Journal or draw or write what you're thinking or what God has given you, and make that a part of your journey. Because the thing is, there's lots of different ways to read the Bible. We can read the Bible worshipfully, meaning, one, we could read it while we're in worship, or two, we can read Scripture the way we do worship, full of awe and wonder and praise at who God is and what God has done for us. We can read Scripture, and I like to put myself in the middle of the story and think, what would it have been like if? What would it have been like if you were one of the Israelites who's just come across the Jordan River, and for 6 days you march in silence around the city of Jericho? And on the seventh day, you all gather and you march 7 times around the city. And the 7th time around, you all shout as loud as you can and the walls fall down. What would that have been like? Or when we get to the prodigal son, October-ish, put yourself in the story. Where do you fit? Are you the wasteful younger brother? Are you the angry older brother? Are you the parent that waits? Or do you see yourself more in the background like a servant, just kind of watching what goes on in this household? Or maybe you're the neighbor who's got the curtains pulled back this far so you can kind of see what's going on. We can read this book devotionally. Sit quietly with God. Ask Him, please open my heart, open my mind. I want to know you better, God. Reveal yourself to me. What are you saying to me in this passage right now? And what do you want me to do with what you've just revealed to me? We can read it fast, just kind of skim over the high points. Or we can read it slowly. Maybe we come to a passage that seems to just kind of jump off the page at us. And wherever we're at in our lives right now, that seems to be something that we just want to hang on to. Maybe there's verses that we want to memorize. Maybe there's a verse or two that becomes a mantra that gets us through whatever's going on. Maybe we read this prayerfully and turn what we're reading into a prayer of thanksgiving or a prayer of praise or even a lament. We read daily. We read corporately with others. I'll be the first to tell you that going from in the beginning to amen is daunting. There's a lot of words in here and names that we can't pronounce. But if we do this together, we can do this, I promise. The thing about this book, this Bible, this treasure that I hold in my hand, the psalmist says, not only is God's word a light, but he looks at God's word as the sweetest thing he can imagine. And in that day and age, that was probably honey. He talks about God's word being honey. In other words, what he's really saying to us is that the teaching of the Lord is even better than the most delicious food we might eat, which is saying a lot considering we are just finishing up with the holidays, right? And all the ooey gooey stuff that we make and people give us. So let me just toss out some thoughts for you. I really hope and pray that as we go on this journey together, that we can learn to love God's word, that we can find time to meditate. Because what it really means is that we're loving God by pondering his word. We're letting it kind of soak into us, letting it penetrate our heart. It means that we've asked that he open our minds and that he open our hearts. And so we can not only receive his word, but we receive his spirit. So whatever comes along, whatever we face, His word is right there, available, ready to give us a fresh understanding. There's lots of ways to learn. We can learn from experience. Some of us learn best from experiences. We make mistakes and then we realize, wow, shouldn't have done that. Some of us learn from teachers or leaders. There might even be a couple of you that have learned something from a pastor. Or we can learn from people who have fire-tested faith. And as I look around this morning, there are people in our midst right now who have faith that's been tested in the refiner's fire. The thing about reading is we learn from others. Joshua learned from Moses. Who have you learned from? And better yet, who's learning from you? I hope and I pray that we grow to be obedient to God's word. Because as students of God's word, sometimes we aren't obedient right away. It's hard to be obedient sometimes. And yet I hope and pray for you, for me, for all of us, that we grow to be more obedient, that we come to a point where we love to do what God has for us to do. It takes time to learn and develop that. You see, God's word is really food for our souls. But the thing about God's word is this. It's not a buffet where we pick and choose what we want. Sometimes when we read God's word, it's like a healing balm. It's sweet. It's like something warm has been poured over us. But sometimes when we read God's word, it's like scripture becomes a mirror that God holds up in front of us. And we realize that something that we've done or something that we're doing, we shouldn't be doing. And God's word convicts us. It's painful. The challenge is for you and for me is to learn to receive both the words that are bitter and the words that are sweet. I hope and pray that we can be faithful in our reading. We ask that God be faithful to us. I pray that we can be faithful to Him. Because our faithfulness is evidence of our faith, of our love for Him. And faith comes from hearing and receiving and doing the Word of God. This Word is a light to our path. You know, in ancient times, they had little clay. Sometimes they were bowls. Sometimes they were like little boats. And they would put olive oil in them and a wick. And they would carry them. They didn't have flashlights or torches or lanterns. But those lights gave off precious little light. They maybe saw one step or two ahead of them. You and I don't see the whole journey either. Because this is a journey and we walk by faith and not by sight. But each time we're obedient, each act of obedience that we perform, each act of obedience to God's will takes us to another place where we learn to be obedient yet again, and eventually we get to our destination. Because the thing is, no matter where we live, no matter what we do, no matter how old we are, the light of God's word will guide us on the right path. Where it's never too early to start reading, and I hope for you and for me, that we are reading until the day that God calls us home. So you're sitting there thinking, well, great, that's all well and good. What's in this for me? Why would I do this? How many of you have been or are at a place where you believe, but there's so much going on that you're not sure you can trust God with all of that stuff? I've been there. But the thing is, as we read, as we spend time in God's Word, we will see story after story after story of how God is trustworthy and how God is continually interacting in the lives of His people. Maybe you're at a point where you kind of feel far from God. Anybody ever felt like they're not all that close to God? It happens. But when we spend time in His Word, I hope for you and for me that we're reminded of how much He desperately wants to be a part of your life, of my life, and how much He wants us to get to know Him better. How much He loves us. How much He wants to spend time with us. Maybe we're at a point in our lives or our careers or whatever where we aren't exactly sure where we fit anymore. Life has changed. And maybe we kind of feel like we're adrift. When we spend time with Him, we'll discover that even if we don't feel like we fit here, we always have a place with Him. Because time in God's Word reminds us who we are, reminds us that we are beloved sons and daughters. It reminds us of whose we are. He has named us and claimed us as His very own. And if there's any doubt, when we spend time in Scripture, we will see how God lavishes His love, His mercy, His grace, His provision on the children that He loves so much from the very beginning to the very end. Amen.